We greet you this evening in the name of the great physician that can make the dumb speak and the deaf hear. What kind of a doctor is that? I don't know how many of you have been to see doctors, but you know, so many times he just can't do what you want him to do. And here was a man that had great needs in his life, and he bet the best doctor there ever was. And that same doctor is here with us this evening. I greet you in his name tonight. The one that can do marvelous things in your life if you let him. I'm glad to be here tonight. I don't know very many of you. I believe I was here once before several years ago. But it was so long ago I could hardly remember what your church building looked like. So when I got here, yes, I remembered it. But no, I don't know you, unfortunately. So I look forward to meeting you in a new way. And maybe I should introduce myself a little bit. You know how it is. After the evangelist gets up front, most of you will go get the directory and you'll look me up anyhow. So I was born in 1976. That'll tell you how old I am. Currently at 47 years old. And that feels pretty young. I'm glad to see a lot of young people here. And I feel like I can identify with you. You think I'm old, but you know, old is just a matter of perspective. My wife, Crystal, is with me this week, and my youngest daughter is here, Andrea. And so we're looking forward to that, being able to just to spend an entire week together and in service for the Lord. We have two boys. Austin is my oldest son. He's 23, and Trenton is 19. And they're both still at home. And so we enjoy a lot of good family time. We have three girls. Jenna is 16, Erica is 12, and Andrea is 10. So that's my family in a nutshell. I believe my wife has a family picture, so if you want to see what they look like, she'll be glad to show you that picture. I was ordained a deacon in 2011, and that's starting to feel like a long time ago. And I was telling Greg, you know, I don't feel like I sometimes wonder why God called me. You know, you look around and you just see so many talented people. And you say, well, Lord, why didn't you call that person? And I hope tonight or this week as you go along that we allow God to work in our hearts. Whether you feel like, you know, sometimes we just don't feel very qualified or we just don't feel that we're the ones. But we need to say, yes, Lord. This entire week, we just need to open up our hearts and say, yes, Lord. What do you have for me to do? Ordained a deacon in 2011 and called to the work of the ministry in 2016. So in my spare time, I do construction work. I'm a builder by trade. And you ministry understand the juggle between doing ministry work and trying to provide for the needs of the family. But I enjoy construction and my sons work with me. So that's my life in a nutshell. We call this week a time of revival. And I wonder what you're expecting this week. You all came here tonight. Most of you had a really nice smile when you walked in and sat down. And I wondered what you were smiling for. You know, what's your anticipation? And I trust your heart is like the psalmist. In Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." If you buy a brand new pickup, it does not need restored. There's nothing wrong with it. But you know, till 1957, that old make and model is old and rusting out, and it needs total restoration. You know what a beautiful restoration job looks like? It's a beauty to behold. That's what God can do to us. He can take an old, rusted out individual and restore us back to a beautiful individual that only He can use. And so I trust our hearts wants to be restored. Restored the way God wants to restore us. Only if we let Him. Is that your desire? Your desire to be revived. See, we just get tired. Brother Ron talked about that. We just are busy schedules and we get wore out. And we need revived. So I trust this week can be a time of being revived of allowing the Lord to work in our hearts and maybe just putting a few stakes down and saying, Lord, I want to do this week. Might be little, but you can look back to and you can remember this week as a time when you grew in your Christian life. That would be wonderful. That would be true revival. Each evening, I have a theme song that I would like to sing. And I checked in with Brother Delbert, and I was glad you had Zion's Praises, because my theme song's in Zion's Praises, so I don't have to make copies. And it's probably a song that you sing. Maybe you sing it on a regular basis. We don't have the Zion's Praises in our church. We used to. And I miss singing this song. It's a song about being thankful. And I want to spend some time each night, instead of doing a pre-sermon talk, my pre-sermon talk is going to come from you. I would like to hear from you what you are thankful for. Specific things that's happening to you today. How is God working in your life? I had a brother at church bless me with that. He sent me a message one day and he said, how has God blessed you today? And I was busy. And I was kind of like, okay, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, is God even blessing me today? He absolutely is, but we have to stop and see it. It's such a blessing to come here tonight and not know any of you, but yet know that you have the same desire and the same love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blessing, to find faithful believers. And you know, we have to look for those little things. And so my request to you is start looking for the things to be thankful for. And tomorrow night, I want to open it up. I see maybe a trend in our own home congregation of not being free to speak. And I want to hear from all of you this week. The youth, moms, dads, grandpas. I want to hear from you. You know, when we ask for a testimony, we often think, well, that's Nelson's job. Or Greg's going to have a testimony. Not me. This is for you. Everyone here has something to be thankful for. And I want to hear about it. And I want to share things I'm thankful for, too. I want to just spend several minutes each night taking time to hear what you're thankful for. Turn in number 669. And your Zion's Praises. Song is Someone to Thank. It's a very simple song. You all know this song. But as you sing this song, I want you to sing it. And think about the words that you're singing. So many times we just sing. We need to sing from the heart. We need to be singing in with thanksgiving to what God has done for you. Thanksgiving for what God has done to me. There is someone who daily my needs, he does supply. Y'all got out of bed this morning, and you're here. That is something to be thankful for. God is faithful to you today. And this song goes on to talk about that. Someone to thank.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. So
Is your heart thankful tonight for the great God that you serve? Brother Ron led us in a very inspirational devotional meditation, and he introduced our subject. Can you imagine the heart welling up inside of that man when the Lord touched his life? For the gift to be able to hear, the gift to be able to speak. Oh, I just think his heart was just so full, and I wonder what he did. Don't tell us, does it? That's not my story tonight, but I connected so much with it. I would like to tell you a little story, and this story was given for Brother Henry Ramos at our minister's meeting maybe 2 years ago, I don't know, and I asked him if I could reuse this story because it inspired me so much, and I said, do you mind? And of course, Brother Henry said, absolutely, brother, use it. So here's the story as I remember being told by Brother Henry. But this story happened a long time ago, back maybe 100 years ago, and they traveled by train everywhere they went. They didn't travel like we travel. You know, we jumped in a vehicle, and 5 hours we were here. If you wanted to go somewhere in the south, you got on a train at a station, and you rode that train hour after hour after hour. And it was one of those days in the middle of the summer when it was extremely hot out. Sun was just blazing down on that train. Everyone was dressed up in their finery. And it was hot. And it was miserable. And, you know, they started out, everyone started having a good feeling, but eventually they started to get grouchy. I think you can probably identify with that. You know, when you're hot, you just can't bear it anymore. Life just gets miserable. And there they are in this old steel carriage, just clickety-clack going down the train. But there was one man on that train that just kept sitting up and looking out the window. And he would look out the window. And all of a sudden, he would go, ah, beautiful. And the train kept going after, but he'd look out and say, amazing. And it went a little bit longer, and after a bit, he was like, oh, the magnificent. And he just kept repeating this. And finally, someone couldn't stand it any longer. They're like, sir, what are you seeing that we're not? I mean, we're on the same train. We're looking out the same window. And he said, you see, you don't know who I was. He said, I was blind all my life, and I couldn't see. But I met a great physician that healed my eyesight and gave me back my eyes, and I can see. And he was looking out that train window, and he was seeing for the first time in his life. Brothers and sisters, this evening, are you grateful? Are you so excited for the great physician, the healing power in your life that has given you sight? We take it for granted so many times. I mean, we drive here, we didn't even think about the beauty that was all around us. And instead, we tend to complain. We tend to focus on the things that we don't like. Well, I have another story tonight. It's very similar to one Brother Ron read to us. Turn with me to John chapter 5. It's another story, another account of the great physician working his miracles on people and the response that came out of the man and how his life was changed. John chapter 5. I would like to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And we'll just stop reading there. I just want to think about this story a little bit. I want to think about what the situation was like surrounding this impotent man. That word impotent means that he was lame. He couldn't walk. He was diseased. He was a crippled. And he was just stuck on his bed. This pool, Bethesda, I've always in my mind pictured a small swimming pool. Maybe a large swimming pool. Maybe one that would fit inside this church and around it would fit about 50 people. You know how when you read something in your mind, you just kind of envision something. That's what I've always envisioned. Well, this pool of Bethesda is a historic, the remains still exist today. And they are able to, archaeology have been able to uncover this pool of Bethesda. This was a huge place. This was not just something that was just a big swimming pool. This was, well, the pool of Bethesda has been verified. The ruins being uncovered, and it is exactly as described. It's 165 feet wide and 315 feet long. Now, that's getting to the size of a chicken house, a poultry barn. I don't know if you have them up here. I'm sure you do. And, you know, they're often maybe 500 feet. This here was 315 feet long. Your church isn't even 100 feet long. It would take 7 Calvary Mennonite churches. I don't know how many of you have been to Calvary Church. It would take 7 of Calvary churches put together to fit the size of this pool. There was a huge lake of water in there with different porches. And there was a grand, magnificent columns, kind of like your balcony here in the back. And you know, the men would lay in the shade because it was hot. And they would be under these great big porches. When you say a porch, a great big balcony. It was a shaded, covered area. It was a beautiful architecture. It was a beautiful place. A lot of ornament, stone carvings. In there lay a great multitude. It wasn't just one man laying there. There was a huge amount of people. And what a place. What a place to cast your lot with. We'll look at that in just a little bit. I want to think about what it would have been like if that were you. What if that were you that was lame and no one to care for you? We just can't even wrap my mind around that because we have a church family. We have people that care about us. We have family. We have uncles. We have relation. But this man was lame. He was a crippled, and he was alone. And he laid there, how long? 38 years. Did you get that? 38 years. Anyone here 38? 35? 40? Okay, Greg. Imagine being lame all your life. That's all you know. We just can't even comprehend what that would be like because we have something to be thankful for, don't we? This man lay here day after day. And so I want to think about this man a little bit. What was his name? He was unknown. He was just the lame man. He was just that man that laid there for 38 years. We had enough of details to know that. He was a nobody. How many like to be a nobody? I don't. I don't. I like to belong. This man, I don't think he didn't belong. Couldn't do anything for himself. Begged his way through life. And eventually found his way to this pool. And he laid there day after day after day. He was desolate. I had to wonder where his mother was. Where was his father? He had parents because he was born. Where was his family? Did they disown him? Didn't nobody care about this man? I believe this man was extremely poor. He didn't have a wealthy estate. He didn't own his own pickup. He didn't own anything except a little piece of carpet or a piece of blanket that he doubled up and he called it his bed. And he would sit on that bed. And when it was time to sleep, he would lay down on that bed and he would get up in the morning and he was still on his bed. A piece of carpet, a little bit of bedding. That's all he had. He couldn't get nothing else in life because he was lame. He was destitute. I believe he was a desperate man. This story is an intriguing one because once a year, the angel, the scripture says, would come down into this pool and he would stir the water. He would trouble the water. And I guess that this lake was calm and glassy. And all of a sudden, they would see the water being stirred. And whoever would get down in there first could be healed. Now, there's some hope. There's some hope that just maybe I can be the first one down there. And you try so hard, and you're almost there, and someone else beats you to it. And he's healed and you're not. And you go back to your old bed, your old blanket that's filthy. And you lay there for another several months. And you just keep waiting. Keep waiting. Just maybe. 38 years of just hope. But he was just done. No one to help this man. He saw other people getting help. He saw other people being healed, but never him. And you know, that's a picture of mankind without Christ. There are people that live in this world, maybe you have friends and neighbors that live in this community, that are destitute. They want so bad, they want something different in their life, but they have no one. There's no one to help them. And they're stuck on their little old mat of self-pity. The little mat of whatever they created for themselves. It's a picture of what mankind is without Christ. They know they need help. They know they have a problem. And maybe they've tried self-help programs, but nothing works. And year after year, they're the same. Let's think about the multitude. The multitude of people that were laying around. It was not just this man. There was more just like him. And they were just laying there. And they were withered up, and they were cripples, and they maybe couldn't speak, and maybe some of them couldn't talk, and some of them couldn't hear, and some couldn't walk, and maybe all of the above. It was a sorry group of looking people. It's a group of people we don't even want to identify with. It makes us discouraged. Picture of humanity. Ephesians 2 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a picture of who I was without Jesus Christ. It's a picture of who you are without Jesus Christ. Destitute, lonely, trying so hard, and failing time after time again. No hope. Just laying there, waiting for a supernatural event. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus walks up to this pool. And I'm just going to put a figure. There's 500 crippled people laying around. And he looks across the water, and over there's a man that lay there for 38 years. Why did Jesus pick him? I can't answer that. But he did. He looked at that man. He said, that man needs help. He picked him out. And you know, Jesus can pick every one of us out. He knows our needs. He knows who we are. That man didn't even have a name, and yet Jesus knew who he was. And he walked up there, and he walked among all the other crippled people. Why didn't somebody jump up and say, help me? But he didn't. The healer was right there with them. And Jesus just walking through, and he walks up to this impotent man. This man that couldn't walk, crippled. I'm guessing he's lying there on the ground. And Jesus might look down at him. I don't know. Maybe he sat up. Jesus cares about the hurting, doesn't he? That's what Jesus came to this world for. So many times I think that my hurts, I bury them because no one else cares. I really sometimes wonder if anybody cares. And we come here to church and we put a smile on our face, but we got hurts. I'm here to tell you this evening that Jesus cares about our hurts. Jesus cares about the needs in your life. Jesus cares about what you're facing. Jesus didn't have to go there. Jesus could have just detoured that place, but no, he came among the people that needed him. And he picked out a man that needed him. Well, they all needed him. But this man must have had a need that Jesus saw that he wanted to address. Jesus came to this earth to meet the needs of the people. We think about his mission. I mean, he healed our devotional. He healed a man that couldn't hear. Think about the people, the 5,000 that were fed. He cared about their hunger. Their everyday problems when they ran out of wine. Jesus was there to meet their needs. And that's the same Jesus that's among us tonight. He cares about our needs. He cares about the things you're facing tonight. He cares about the things that just went backward for you today. That went backward for you this past year. Jesus knows all about it. Are you okay with that thought? Are you okay with the thought that Jesus knows your heart? Are you okay with the thought that Jesus knows your hurts? Jesus walked up to this man and he knew everything about him. And Jesus still knows our deepest hurts. That should be comforting to us. He knew that this man was a cripple. He knew he couldn't walk. He knew he couldn't carry his own bed. He knew he was totally dependent on other people. He even knew this man's thoughts. Just like God knows my thoughts. This man didn't know who Jesus was, but Jesus still knew and Jesus still cared to take time out of his day to work with this man. I think of the song, Does Jesus Care? That's a very touching song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care tonight? Does Jesus really care about what you're going through? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Can we sing the first verse of that? Does Jesus? Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. And I trust tonight that your heart knows he cares. But there's times in our life when we begin to doubt. There's times in our life when we wonder where Jesus ever is. We wonder if he even cares about what I'm going through. And I believe this man laid there wondering, does anybody even care? And he watched person after person walk past him. Hopes dashed, desolate, no one. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus stops and he looks down. And he cared. He cared about this man. And what does he say? When Jesus saw him lying, verse 6, he knew that he had been there a long time. And he said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? That's not what it says. It says, wilt thou be made whole? What a question. Can you imagine laying there sick for 38 years? Lame. Crawling around. I don't know how he got around. Bed sores. Hurts all over his body. And this man looks at him and he says, do you want to get better? What would be your question? What would be your answer? How would you answer that question? How did this man answer the question? He didn't. Why? Why, when the great healer is standing there ready to do whatever your heart desires? Do you want to be healed? And this man says, oh, I wish so bad I could be healed. I've tried for 38 years. I've been to see 10 doctors, and no one can help me. Everyone else gets healed, but not me. What did Jesus do? You know, Jesus could have said, well, have a nice day. I really hope someone can help you. But that's not Jesus. No, Jesus cares. His heart is touched with our grief. And his heart was touched with this man's lifelong problems. And this man was touched by Jesus, wasn't he? Jesus simply looked at him and said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus had something way more to offer this man than what this man thought the question held. He just simply said, well, Lord, if you could help me, maybe get me a little closer to the water. Then the next time when the angel comes down, maybe I'll be healed. No, Jesus had something way better for him. Way better. Jesus just simply looked at him and said, do you want healed? Do you want to be made whole again? I've got some advice. And if you follow my advice, you can be whole again. So many times, we want to tell Jesus our problems. And we want to tell Jesus the answers. And we have the answer to our problem. And Jesus, if you would just listen to me. And Jesus is saying, no, son, no, daughter. You need to put your entire trust, your entire faith in me. Jesus had something so much more to give him. He could have helped that old man down to the edge of the pool. And said, there, you know, I hope that you get better. I hope life turns better for you. Jesus had something so much better. It was not what that man was expecting. And so many times in life, God has something so much better than what we are expecting. Life doesn't turn out like we think. But when God touches our life, it's always so much better than what we think. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. This question to this man made him stop and think. Wilt thou be made whole? And it's a question that comes to us tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? And to what extreme are you ready to go to have your life changed? Wilt thou be made whole? It was something that man had to to respond to. Wilt thou be made whole tonight? You know, this man was just doing the same thing over and over and over for 38 years. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? We just do the same things. We get up every morning and we just do our same old ritual. And we look at our life and we just wish that things would be different. But what are you ready to do tonight to make that happen? To what extent are you ready to go with God? To allow God to change your life? So many times we have things in our life and I hear people say, well, I know I need to do better. I need to spend more time in prayer. Well, do you want to or don't you? That was really the question Jesus was asking this man. Do you want to be healed? Do you want your life to change? And there's a lot of people that really wish their life could change, but they don't want to do anything about it. For 38 years, this man laid on a piece of old dirty carpet. I just can't help but think it was dirty if you just laid there. I don't think it got washed. Wouldn't you want to get off that old piece of filth? But you know, once he got off that piece of carpet, then his life was out of his control. And his life was, something different was happening. So many times we want something different, but we like laying on an old dirty piece of carpet of sin. We're crippled tonight. We're crippled by sin. We're crippled by life's problems. We're crippled by circumstances outside of our control. We're crippled by past hurts. We're crippled by addictions. We're crippled by hidden sin. And we just continue to lay there on our old dirty piece of carpet. Crippled in our spiritual life. And we just want so badly for things to change. We just want so badly for the great physician to come down and touch our life. But what are you ready to do to be whole this evening? If we allow Jesus to make us whole tonight, things will change. And life changed for this man. But you know what? It was nothing about this man. It wasn't that this man could pay for pay his great physician. What can you do tonight to earn the great physician's blessing on your life? So many times we just think God should bless us. I mean, I'm coming to church tonight. It's a Tuesday evening, and I could have stayed home because I had a headache, but I came to church, and I really expect God to bless me. Does God have to bless you? God will bless, but so many times we think we earn our salvation. We can't earn it. We are all crippled by sin. This man had nothing to give Jesus. What have you done to earn salvation tonight? What have you done to deserve God's blessing in your life? What have you done? For by grace are you saved. This is Ephesians 2:8. And we're going to reference this verse several times this week. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn favor with the great physician tonight. Jesus walked into that group and he found a needy individual that could never pay him back. That's who Jesus is. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That is what grace is. Grace is the gift of God. You know what a gift is? A gift is something that you get that you're not entitled to. Correct? If you get a birthday gift, you are not entitled to that gift, but someone wanted to bless you, and they gave you a gift. It's like the storehouse of God's bank, just pouring out blessings into our life. It's like money. It's like my wallet. And I just reached into my wallet and I took out a $20 bill. Some of you have seen this before. This is a real $20 bill. This is real currency here. This is like the grace of God coming down onto mankind. What did that man deserve? Did he deserve a $20 bill? Absolutely not. He didn't deserve anything. Do any of you deserve this $20 bill tonight? Do I owe you any money? I don't even know you. I don't know that I owe you anything. But I want to give this to someone tonight. Just like God wants to give His grace into your life. There's only one requirement and you have to come get it. I don't have enough for all of you, but I would like to give this to the first person that gets up and comes here. Could be old people. It could be young person. Who would like to be brave enough to come forward for a $20 bill? We got a young girl back here. Are you coming up here or you're leaving? I'm not sure. Okay, she's not brave. Oh, we got a young boy right here. I want to give you this $20 bill. Do I owe it to you? They said, yes. You may have it, you may spend it however you please. There you go. You're going to say, thank you. That's what grace is. It's God's blessing. His forgiveness being poured out into our life. But it's conditional. We have to make a choice to accept it. I want to ask you tonight, why didn't you come get it? Why didn't you? Greg, why didn't you get it? You don't need to answer me. You were worried about what Nelson was going to think. You were worried about what everybody in this congregation would think if the deacon would come up here and get some money. That's what keeps people from coming to the grace of God. They're so worried about what everybody's going to think, but God doesn't care. God says, I am here. I care for you. But you have to come to me. God doesn't just dump out grace and things into our lives. He doesn't give us the good things that we deserve until we come to Him in faith. And we follow Him in obedience. Jesus looked at this man and He said, rise. Get up off your old bed. But I can't. I can't. I haven't walked for 38 years. My legs don't work. Lord, don't you understand? Can't you see I'm lame? You know the excuses that keep us from experiencing God's grace? The good things that God wants to do for us. Rise, take up thy bed. This man's a cripple. He hasn't used his arms in a long time. He can't walk. He can't use his arms. And walk. Jesus, what are you thinking? You know, it was an act of faith for that man to even try to sit up and try his, or maybe he tried his arms first. And he realized he could, and he stood up. And they worked, and he could walk. And he reached down and he picked that old piece of bedding up. He didn't need it anymore. He wasn't coming back. He could have slept that bed and said, well, I'll try out these legs. And if I get tired, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to go back on that old filthy mat. So many times we want to keep our old sinful habits for a little bit of pleasure in case we don't like our new life. Don't work that way. If you want God to pour out blessing into your life, we got to win 100% obedience. Rise. Get up in newness of life and walk with Him. God will bless you. God will do things in your life that you never knew was possible. But it takes a lot of faith. It takes faith to get up out of that bench and walk up here to a preacher you don't even know to get your $20 bill. Thank you for doing that. It takes a lot of faith, doesn't it, in God? especially at times when maybe we wonder where God is. But in faith, we move ahead. What were the results? Well, this man was changed, wasn't he? And I had to wonder about everybody that was around observing this. Surely this man had a bedmate, someone that was lying, you know, next to him. I don't know what you would call him. Why didn't he say, "Lord, would you heal me?" He saw an extreme power. My mind just wonders why. But so many times we're afraid, well, what's my neighbor going to think? What if he says I'm a Christian? What's my friends going to say if they know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? But do you want to be made healed, whole tonight? Do you want that old sin, that old guilt in your life gone? Do you want the hypocrisy that's been hidden in your life crippling you? Do you want healed? Are you ready to get up out of your seat and get right with God tonight? It's a choice that we all have to make, isn't it? God don't just come down and do things. God doesn't just give you a push. It's a personal choice that when you're ready to get right with God, God is ready to meet you. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. I can testify tonight that God cares about what we are going through. And I would simply like to sing a song of invitation tonight. That you could respond. That you could stand to your feet and acknowledge to your church family. Acknowledge to God that I am serious tonight. I want to be revived. I want a new start. I want my life changed. Do you want to be healed? It's your choice. What number shall we sing tonight?